Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
That's my favorite verse. My favorite verse is, may he become greater and greater, John 3:30, and may I become less and less. Did you know pride is, in my opinion, the root of all evil? I really believe it. It's the center of all sin, that pride. That middle letter, I. Middle letter of sin, I. Middle letter of pride, I, right? Because I get in the way of what God's trying to do so many times. So many times I get in the way of what God's trying to do. So I pray that he becomes greater this morning and that I become less and he speaks through me this morning. You know, Elevate Industries, I have had the opportunity and the privilege of traveling the world for the past 15 years. I've been to 8 different countries, 44 different states, speaking a message of hope and love and ultimately leading people to Jesus Christ, which is all about what Elevate is. Elevate Industries is a nonprofit organization, and the mission and the purpose of Elevate is to reach out to the hurting and the hopeless and help bring people that are drowning in darkness back into the light, ultimately the light of Jesus Christ. And we do that through speaking in high schools, mainly high schools, middle schools, prisons. In the summertime, I speak at festivals. You guys know Life Fest in Oshkosh. I just got done speaking at Life Fest to about 18,000 people that were there. So I've spoken to as much as 25,000 people in stadiums and festivals. And I've spoken to 4 people that were on death row in solitary confinement. Okay? So all the way, the spectrum, doesn't matter who I'm speaking to as far as how many of those people are. I've spoken to people that wear Armani suits, and I've spoken to people that wear orange jumpsuits, okay? People are people. Another thing I've understood about people in the 15 years that I've been speaking is this. People want 2 things. They want to be accepted, and they want to be loved. Did you know that? Everybody wants those 2 things. Now, you would think that people would say, I want money, I want a Ferrari, I want a hot wife, whatever it may be, right? I don't know. I just threw that out there because I saw a junior high kid and, you know, hey. There's hope for you. When I said that, that kid was like, yes. Drinking his Code Red Mountain Dew Slurpee. Sorry, that's my ADD. I have ADD. You know what ADD stands for? Attention deficit. Hey, you want to go ride bikes? Okay. All right. But people want 2 things. They want to be accepted and they want to be loved. They do. Everybody wants those 2 things. No matter what language you speak, how tall you are, how short you are, how big you are, no matter who you are, you want to be accepted and you want to be loved. And the ultimate person that can give you that is Jesus Christ. When I speak in schools and some places, I'm not allowed to share my faith. Did you know in America, all the schools I speak in, public schools, they don't let me share my faith. I'm not allowed to. I respect that. The church and state, I respect that. I don't talk about Jesus when I'm in schools. We invite them back to a rally where I'm able to share my faith and tell people about Jesus. Matter of fact, I was in Sparta. How long ago? 6-7 years ago now? It had to be 8 years ago now. I was in Sparta. It's about time we do another school tour. What's going on, you guys? So, we need it. Where are you at, Brock? Come on, bud. I think last time I spoke here, Sue was a youth pastor last time I spoke in school. So, Brock was in junior high, I want to say. I'm old. I speak in, last time I spoke here, we did schools. I spoke to probably about 10 different schools, and we had a big rally, and hundreds of people gave their life to Jesus Christ. It was absolutely amazing. So that's what I'm able to do, is share my story, my testimony. I'll share with you here this morning as well. But then I come to a rally where I'm able to ultimately share my faith, what I'm about Jesus Christ rescuing me, saving me. And then we are able to lead those people to Jesus. But that's what Elevate is about. I do that through speaking in schools and prisons, church camps, festivals, you name it, rest homes, literally spoken in rest homes before. Whatever, whoever will give me an opportunity to share my faith, that's what Elevate is about. We have, just this year, I brought on like 4 other speakers. The reason why I named Elevate Industries and not Jason Moppet Ministries is because, one, I don't want it just to be about me, because one of these days I'm going to get old and I'm going to die, okay? Hopefully a long, long, long time from now and not right now, okay? But because that will be awkward. But I'll die a long time from now. And when I die, I want my ministry to continue that God's given me, okay? So that's why I called it Elevate Industries. I've brought on four other speakers. I have one of my good friends. His name's Corey Baker. He's an internationally known health coach and motivational speaker that lives down in Kentucky. Another one of my friends who's known as McBee. He's a former Navy SEAL, 25 years in the community of the Special Forces. Just great guy, amazing guy. Another lady named Tammy Naderhood, who's actually my mother-in-law, but a phenomenal. She's like, if you don't put me on that list, I'm disowning you as a son-in-law. So, no, she's actually a phenomenal women's speaker and you know, just amazing person. And then my lovely, beautiful wife, Jessica Maupin, who is a music. She's basically in music. She does our music at our church, creative. She's the creative director at our church and travels, and amazing, amazing musician. So we have, and then myself. So there's all of us that are traveling, that we're speaking. And it's awesome. The dream of Elevate is coming true every single day, being able to travel and do these things and ultimately win people for the lost. Now, my board has always told me, they're like, Jason, you need to get better at talking to people about your website, because we are a nonprofit organization. So to make my board happy, I am going to tell you about my website real quick, and then we'll continue with the message. If you go to elevateindustries.com, you can write it down, memorize it, whatever. Everybody say Elevate Industries. You didn't say it. Say Elevate Industry. Okay, .com. ElevateIndustries.com is my website. It is a nonprofit organization. This is what I do full time, okay? I say this not because I'm begging for money, okay? I say this because I'm begging for money. I'm just joking. I'm joking. No, Elevate is a nonprofit organization where I cannot do what I'm doing without people like you, okay? This is my full-time job where I do travel full-time. Man, this is a 24/7 job where you're counseling people sometimes in the wee hours of the morning over in Ireland when they're calling you up, and it's 3 in the afternoon to them, but it's 3 in the morning to you type of thing, okay? So this is a full-time job where I do counsel people. It's full-time. So my family, they share me with the world, and it's absolutely amazing. But I need your help, okay? There's two things that Elevate Industries need. We need your prayer and support, okay? And then we also need your financial support. Every dollar that is given to Elevate Industries goes to the ministry. Not to me. It goes to the ministry, a nonprofit organization, which helps keep the lights on. I get a paycheck from Elevate, but ultimately what's given to Elevate, everybody's like, well, it goes to you. No, this is a nonprofit organization. It goes to the ministry. Therefore, then I take a paycheck out of that. Okay, but this is my full-time job. This is what I do full-time. We'd love to have you partner with us. There's two things that you need to do if you're partnering with us. One thing is this. Do not give me your tithe, okay? Your tithe needs to go to the storehouse. That's God's word. I don't want your tithe. God wouldn't bless that, okay? So your tithe needs to go to the storehouse. That's your church where you're being fed. Above and beyond missions, if you would like to partner with us, you can go to ElevateIndustries.com, and you can go to the donation tab, and you can securely donate. You just check that box, and it'll just, whatever day you donate, it'll do that every month. So making my board happy, you can go to ElevateIndustries.com. And the second thing I ask you to do is prayerfully consider that. I don't want disgruntled supporters, okay? Don't give unless God is speaking to you to do that, okay? I want people that want to give and want to support. And that's that, ElevateIndustries.com. Check it out. I love my children. I have been a father for over 8 years now. My oldest is actually here with me today. She's in your lovely children's church area. She was in first service today. And she said, Daddy, do I have to listen to you again? And I said, no, sweetheart, you can go to children's church, you know. So she went to children's church. Her name's Emery. I call her Peaches, okay. My second oldest, my youngest daughter, is Avery, and I call her Sunshine. And then my youngest, his name is Phoenix, and I call him, he's 2, and I call him Bear, okay? Because he either, like when you feed him and he gets his nap, he's happy, okay? But if you don't feed him and he doesn't get his nap, he's angry as a bear, okay? That's why I call him Bear. He's a lovely, lovely kid, though. I've understood when being a parent, and you parents will understand this, when you're talking to your children, sometimes they don't listen. Am I the only parent that this happens to? I asked my wife the other day, I said, I'm a pastor and I feel like it, I'm threatening my kids at night to go to bed. If you come out of your room one more time, I'm going to saw your leg off, you know, type of thing. It comes to stuff like that where I'm like, go to bed. And every night we have a routine where we pray, we sing a song and we pray and we do our devotions and that's our thing. And we pray and we send him to bed and it ends all sweet. And then sure as the world, I will hear pitter patter of little feet. And my sweet children turn into little demons. Okay? And they're like, I got to go potty. Go to the bathroom. I need a drink of water. Get a drink of water. I'm hungry. Why didn't you eat at dinner time? You know, go to bed. Every night this happens. And it just seems like, I'm like, what can I do? Can I, like, offer them, like, a Twinkie, you know? I will bribe them. I will do things. But when you get your kids to listen to you the first time, because that's what we have in our house. We have the first time rule, okay? We don't do counting. Because counting is like, I give you 10 seconds to disobey me, basically. One, two. No harm if you're doing that. But in our house, we call it the first time rule. If you don't do it the first time, there's consequences, okay? So when I ask them to do something, they don't do it the first time, there's consequences. But I've learned at times they don't listen. One time I looked over and they were getting ready for bed. And before we even told them to go to bed, I look over and I see my youngest daughter, Avery. She's in there brushing her teeth. And this was a huge moment for you parents. You know what I'm talking about. I hit my wife and I'm like, she's brushing her teeth. She didn't even have a tooth in her head because there's so many cavities, right? She's brushing her teeth. She's brushing her tooth. She's in there brushing away. And I'm like, look at that. Look, she's brushing her teeth. She's brushing her tooth. And my wife's like, that's awesome. I look over there, and then she takes her teeth from brushing her toothbrush from brushing her teeth. Starts brushing the sink. Starts brushing the sink, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so disgusting. Went from brushing the sink back to brushing her teeth. And I was like, no. You know, I'm thinking, where we got to get some bleach, wash your mouth out, you know? I've realized that in order for my kids to listen to me, I have to get down on their level, right? And I realized they listen to me a lot better when I'm looking at them in the eye on their level. I'm like, hey, can you do this for me? And even in public speaking, they teach you, in order for people to listen to you, a lot of people think you got to get loud. No, if you start speaking softly and slowly, people actually pay attention more. And I've realized with my kids, when I speak softly and slowly and look at them intentionally, they begin to listen to me. And when I'm shouting, right? And I'm like, this isn't, you didn't think I could get up, did you? I saw that lady. She was doubting. She was doubting me. He's not going to be able, that chubby man's not going to be able to get up. Sorry. ADD. But I'm telling you, man, my kids begin to listen to me when I'm speaking softly and slowly because they know their father's voice. My oldest, when she was first born, I never thought, you parents can relate to this, I never thought I would have this much love for someone. Man, when she was first born, I grew up in a home where my father was abusive, so I didn't have the greatest relationship with my dad. My first memory of my dad, I was 3, my brother was 6. He sat us across the kitchen table and he said, he had a Bible in one hand and he had a .357 Smith & Wesson in another. High-powered handgun. He said, if you ever disobey me, I'll kill you. And that's the first memory of my father. That's when the darkness came in. That's when the anxiety came in. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with PTSD. Still to this day, I have nightmares from my past. I thought it was my cross to bear. I thought this was just my cross to bear until 2 years ago, I reached out to professional counseling. And they said, you have a severe case of PTSD. And I laughed. I was like, there's no way. You got to be kidding me. I've never been to war before. They said, Jason, you were at war for 13 years as a child when you were in this relationship at home with your father. Because of that, I developed a stuttering problem. I had a severe case of stuttering, and I would look at the ground. I was insecure, and I would walk, look at the ground. I had a horrible temper because of my father, and I would lash out on others at school. If I ever saw someone bullying or being mean to somebody, it would trigger something inside me. It'd make me lash out to somebody else. So I was scared to have kids growing up. I didn't want to put my kids through what my father put me through as a child. Memories that I don't even care to remember. My father still to this day doesn't want relationship with my brother or I. Chooses to realize, just tell himself we don't exist in his mind. He always said, Jason, you're a nobody. Your mother and I were happy before you were born. And then he always told me, one of these days, Jason, you're going to be just like me. Because his father was like him, and his father was like him. And there was this generational curse upon my family that haunted me. And I thought when I had kids, I was like, God, help me not to be this man that my father was. Can anybody relate to me this morning? Maybe I'm the only one. I remember when my daughter was born, my firstborn child, I would always speak to her in her mommy's tummy, and I would sing to her. And then when she was born, she came out, and she was screaming. She was like, wah, wah, wah. And she had all this what's called Vernex on them. It's like this white lotion, you know. She was covered in it. It looked like an alien. Whoever says babies are adorable when they're first born, that is not true. I was like, what is that? Put it back, you know. And he took this baby, and she's screaming, wah, 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 wah. And they put her on her mommy's tummy. She kept screaming, wah, wah. And they said, you want to cut the cord? And I was like, not really, but I guess I will. Pulled out my trimming shears, you know, almost cut in the wrong place. I remember they put her on the table, and this bright light's on her. And she's, wah, wah, wah. And I didn't know what to do. I was kind of panicking. I remember I went over to her. I looked at the nurse, like, what do I do? And they said, whatever you want to do. I was like, they're scrubbing her off, you know. And I took my hand, and I put it right on her chest, and I said, Daddy's here. And immediately she stopped crying. You know why? She knew her father's voice. Boom. It was done. And I was a blubbering mess. I was like, Daddy's here. Crying my eyes out. I've told her that story so many times. She's like, stop it, Daddy. I know you're here. Well, I love that story, man. Daddy's here. Some of you this morning, you need to hear that. Daddy's here. Your heavenly father's here. He's here. He's here right now. He's here right now. Can you feel his presence? Because he's here. Daddy's here. So many times we equate the relationship with our earthly father with our heavenly father. The relationship we had with our earthly father or have with our earthly father or lack of relationship usually is the relationship we equate with the vertical heavenly father. So my relationship that I thought I had with my heavenly father, I correlated directly with my earthly father. I thought God was up there with a big paddle ready to whack me on the head every time I stepped out of line. And that's the way I equated my heavenly father. And then Jesus began to speak to me. And I started hearing God's voice. And he started speaking to me, Psalms 139, I knew you in your mother's womb before I ever formed you. I know every hair on your head. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Micah 7:8, do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord himself will be my light. When I was a kid growing up, I was afraid of the dark a lot. It was due to my past or whatever. I'd wake up, I would have night terrors. Night terrors when you feel like you're half awake, half dreaming. I was screaming, flailing violently. Didn't know where I was. My mom, she bought a glow-in-the-dark cross. She put it right by the light switch. And every time I woke up, I saw that cross. And I knew that was where the light was. And I would turn on that switch, and then my fears would subside. Daddy's here. And Jesus began to speak to me. And I started hearing my Father's voice and knowing that he had plans to prosper me, give me a hope and a future, that I didn't have to be like my past, because he had plans for me, plans bigger than I could ever imagine, hope, or dream. And I started asking myself, God, I want to know your voice. Speak to my heart. Psalms 139, 23, and 24, it says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Did you know who wrote that? King David. King David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. But he ends up going on, God says he's a man after my own heart. Why? Psalms 139, 23, and 24. After he ends up having an affair with Bathsheba, he puts Bathsheba's husband on the front lines in battle, Uriah, who's a man of character and integrity. I wanted to name my kid Uriah. My wife was like, no, that's weird. But Uriah was a man of character, integrity, and King David on purposely put him on the front lines of the battlefield to get him killed so he could cover up his sin. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But he ends up becoming a man after God's own heart. Why? Psalms 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God. Test me, know my thoughts, point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. He had so many conversations with God. You read Psalms. Read Psalms. So many, you read up there, it says, written for the choir director, David. He's writing all these notes and Psalms to Jesus saying, help me. My problems, they pile up so high, I can't see my way out. That's one of them. And he says, but God, he always ends it with a conjunction, but. God, I know you're real. I know you're there. You can help me. And he knew his Father's voice because he would talk to him frequently. You got to know the Father's voice. This was never more clear to me about in communication, you know, in a marriage. I've been married 15 years. We're going on 16 years this November. She comes from a broken home where her father was an alcoholic. I come from a broken home where my father was abusive. Our marriage should never work. But Jesus was the center. Not was, is the center of our relationship. Because if he wasn't, we'd be divorced long ago. You know why? Because we're selfish people by nature. And Jesus has to bring us back to the center. We have to understand the voice and the calling of God. Communication is paramount in that. I remember being a freshman in college down in Florida. It was a hot summer day, and communication, this is a story about communication for you. I remember going to a gas station to fill my car up with gas. I shouldn't say fill. I was putting 15 cents in my car. No joke. This is the college days, you remember, where you're on E for like 2 weeks and you're like praying over your vehicle. God, please fill this tank miraculously. Fill the crud out of this tank, you know, please. I'm going to breathe into it. Hoping that the tank will fill up because you don't have any money. I seriously put 15 cents in my gas tank. That's not even a full pump. That's like half a pump. That's it. Okay, we're good. So this is the days where they started doing the prepay. Remember where you could just fill your tank up and then you would pay because people had character and integrity and they'd pay for their gas, right? But then they jacked it up and so people were like, I'm not paying for gas anymore. And they start doing drive-offs. So they said you have to pay, prepay, before you pump. So I forgot that it was prepay and I started trying to pump. Well, it wasn't pumping. I see this homeless man. He starts walking towards me. This wasn't a very good area. I knew he was going to ask me for money. And he says, hey, you got any money? And I heard what he said, but I went like this. I was like, you know, kind of like maybe if I ask him what again, he'll just get frustrated with me and walk off. Because I only had 15 cents and it was going in my tank. I was getting ready to ask him for money type of thing, right? I was going to ask you for the same thing, buddy, you know. And so he's walking by. He's like, hey, do you have any money? I went like this. And so he assumes that I am deaf because I went like this. Literally, okay? This is my life, Seinfeld episode. True story. So I go like this. He assumes I'm deaf. So I'm like, well, I guess I got to play like I'm deaf now, right? So this guy, he's like, oh, hey, you're deaf. It's prepay only, buddy. He starts telling me like sign language. He didn't know sign language. He was like doing charades. He's like, prepay, it's prepay only. And I'm like, what? God help me. So he goes over to the gas station attendant, and she's like, he's deaf. Or he's like, he's deaf. He's deaf, you know. She comes on the loudspeaker, kid you not, says, sir, it's prepay only. And in my mind, I'm like, I can't go there. I'm deaf. You know, I can't hear her voice right now. So I just act like I'm pumping. Kid you not. The guy's like, you got to prepay. Prepay. And I remember going to the attendant. I gave her my 15 cents. I went back. And this homeless man, God bless his soul. If I had money, I should have given it to him because he worked for it that day. Okay? This guy would have been the best charades player you've ever seen in your life. And so I pump my gas, and he's like feeling good about himself for helping me. And then I get in, I start my car, and I have the loudest music playing. It's just blaring. He's like, wait a second, you're not deaf. Come back here. I peel out, you know. Communication is key, okay? Communication is key. You've heard selective hearing before? It's true. It is real. It is real, okay? I have selective hearing. Guys, you have it. It's why your wife is talking to you and you watch ESPN. She's telling you about her day, and you say, she's like telling you how something is really awful, and you get in the awesome syndrome. You're like, that's awesome. That's awesome. She tells you something that's like really bad in her day. You're like, that's awesome. That's awesome. What are you talking about? Communication is key. I want to read to you in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's about communication here. 1 Samuel and hearing the voice of God. 1 Samuel 3. It's in the message interpretation I'm reading to you this morning. The boy Samuel was serving God under Eli's direction. This was at a time when the revelation of God was rarely heard or seen. Does that sound familiar? One night, Eli was sound asleep. His eyesight was very bad. He was old. He could hardly see. It was well before dawn, and the sanctuary lamp was still burning. Samuel was still in bed in the temple of God where the chest of God rested. Now, you got to let me set the stage here. Samuel was a prophet, okay? Eli was a prophet. He is Samuel in this passage that I'm reading is around 11, 12 years old, okay? 11 or 12 years old, and he's under the tutelage, if you will, of Eli. And Eli is mentoring him. Samuel is the prophet that ends up calling Saul, okay, and anointing Saul as king, one of the first kings of Israel. And then he anoints David as king. Samuel, if he came around, he began to speak to you, you listened. You know why? Because he had a direct connection with God. He knew what he was talking about. Because God spoke to him. He's 11, 12 years old, and God calls out to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. He says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, yes, I'm here. And then he ran to his mentor, Eli, and he said, I heard you call. Here I am. He's thinking it's Eli calling him. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he didn't. So then God called again. Samuel! Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli. I heard you call. You know, Eli's thinking Samuel's crazy. Samuel's thinking Eli is old and going crazy, you know. Here I am, he said to Eli. And Eli once again said, son, I love that, son. I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Let me sleep. And this all happened before Samuel knew God for himself, it says. It was before the revelation of God had been given to him personally. So God called out again. This is the third time. Samuel! Samuel! And yet again, Samuel got up and he went to Eli. Third time. Yes, Eli, I'm here. I heard you call me. Here I am. And that's when Eli understood that God was speaking to Samuel. So Eli directed to Samuel. He said, listen, go back to bed. Lie down. And if the voice calls you again, say to God, I'm your servant, ready to listen. And so Samuel returned to his bed. And God came and stood before him exactly as before. I love the patience of our God. Amen. This is the fourth time. Man, this is like me telling my kids, go back at that. Fourth time. And he says, Samuel. Samuel. And Samuel answered, listen to this. You don't get anything, listen to this. Samuel answered, speak. I am your servant, ready to listen. Can everybody just say that with me? Can you say, speak? I am your servant, ready to listen. Say that again. Speak, Lord. I am your servant, ready to listen. Amen. And you better be careful. Because when you say that, God will speak to you. In order to hear God's voice for our lives, the first thing is this. You can write it down if you'd like. In order to hear the voice of God for our lives, the first thing we need to do is be listening. Amen? I know that seems pretty simple, elementary, but so many times we're not listening to our Father's voice. We have to be asking our Creator what He wants us to do with our lives. In James chapter 1, it says, if you need wisdom, ask your generous God, and He will not rebuke you for asking. He won't turn you away. He won't make fun of you. Ask your generous God if you need wisdom. When's the last time you asked God, your Heavenly Father, for wisdom, for direction in your life? I'm a big basketball fan. I like basketball. Big Phoenix Suns fan because I'm from Arizona, which means I'm used to disappointment in my life. But, you know, James Naismith, he's the guy that invented and created basketball. James Naismith, he took two peach crates back in the 1800s and cut the holes out of the bottom of them, put them up on wooden posts. No backboard. Took a leather ball. Shoot from here 2 points, shoot from here 3 points. And it evolved over the years. Now you have LeBron James making over $30 million a year because of James Naismith. James Naismith is the person that gave basketball purpose. Now, if you saw me on the baseball field trying to play baseball with a basketball, you would drive by and say, Jason has lost his marbles. He's crazy. Why? Because I'm not using that basketball for its intended purpose. Did you know how many people I see in what I do misusing their lives? Playing baseball with a basketball? They're not using their lives for the intended purpose. You know why? Because they've gone to everybody else except for the Maker. If you want purpose in your life, if you want to be fruitful in your life, if you want to be successful in your life, you need to go to the Maker. Not me, not Pastor Randy, not Pastor Brock, not anybody else, but your Maker, the Maker of you, which is your Heavenly Father. He's the one that gives you purpose. So many times we're not listening. The first thing we need to do is listen in order to hear our Heavenly Father's voice. The second thing we need to do in order to hear God's voice for our lives is be close to His heart. You know why my kids know my voice? Because I talk with them frequently, because they're close to me. My oldest daughter, she's a cuddler, and I love that because I'm a cuddler. She'll cuddle up with me, and I'll hug her. She knows my voice because she's close to my heart. She stays close to me. When I call her Peaches or by her nickname, she knows, because I'm the only one that calls her Peaches. Nobody else better be calling her Peaches. She knows her father's voice because she's close to my heart. In order to be close to God's heart, we have to be doing two things. First is reading our word, because he speaks to us through his word. And the second thing is this: we have to be praying, communicating with him. The only way your marriage or your relationship that you're in will stay successful is through communication. You ask anybody in here that has been divorced, that communication fails somewhere along the way. Communication is key. Communication is key. We have to be communicating with God, and we do that through reading our word and through praying. I prayed with a young man the other day, and he said, man, I just want to know God more, and I want to know his will for my life. I said, how often do you read your word? He said, what's that? I said, the Bible. How often do you read the Bible? I don't own a Bible. So I gave him a Bible. I said, how often do you pray? I don't pray. I said, brother, let me tell you something. If you're not praying and you're not reading your word, you're not going to hear God's voice. You want to hear God's voice for your life. How often do you pray? How often do you read your word? If it's once, twice a week, that's your relationship with Jesus. I am not the Holy Spirit. I am not here to bring conviction. I promise you I'm preaching this message more to myself than I am you. But if you can benefit from it, great. I'm pointing the fingers at myself more than I am you this morning. But man, how often do we read his word? How often do we communicate with him? We want to be close, but we don't want to put in the work. I want a six-pack, but I don't have it. You know why? Because I do one sit-up every day when I wake up in the morning and when I lay down at night, okay? You want the results, you got to put in the work. And that's the same thing with your relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to put in the work. And that's reading your word and praying on a daily basis. I love when it's the word where it says pray without ceasing. I'll go through my day. I'll be driving down the road. I'll pray. God, I need your help in this. And then you need to listen. Third thing we need to do is we need to drown out the noise and listen. The distractions in our life. What is the noise in your life? What is the distractions in your life? What's the sin that's keeping you from knowing God? There's a sleep app I listen to when I'm sleeping at night. It's called Sleep Machine because for whatever reason I can't sleep to just quiet. But this is it. It's static. White noise. Anybody else sleep to something like this? Okay. Not the only weird one. It's hard to hear me communicating with you when this is going on. So many of us, we have that static. And we're trying to listen to God's voice. But that static is interrupting what he's saying. I'm like, God, I want to hear you. What? And we're not close to his heart. Thank you, sound man. We're not close to his heart. We don't know what he's saying because we're so far away. Well, there's so many distractions in their life. We live in a world and a day and age where social media is the new way to communicate. And it's supposed to be like, man, it's like the next level. And they always use this excuse like, this is how you stay connected with people. And in a day and age where we're supposed to feel so connected, we feel the least connected we've ever felt. But you know why? Because God has meant for us to be in community. He doesn't want us communicating through a screen. He wants us looking face to face, eye to eye, human contact, communication. Social media is not my position to sit here and bad. I have social media, all the things that are out there, all that stuff. But in moderation, I use that stuff. I use that stuff because of what I do, getting the word out there. Quite honestly, if I didn't have this profession and this ministry of doing what I do, I wouldn't even use it. I don't like it. But a communication in a day and age where this stuff is supposed to make us feel so connected, we feel the least connected we've ever felt. Psychologists, they did a survey a while back that stated that people are dealing with depression today more than ever before because they see everybody else's highlight reel and they think that their life is perfect and their life must be in shambles. They see in real time what they're being left out of. And people that are that have social media are saying that are dealing with depression more so than ever before. What distractions are out there? That might be a distraction for you. What distractions are out there keeping you from hearing God's voice? First thing, we need to be listening. Second thing, we need to be close to his heart. How do we be close to his heart? Reading his word and praying. The third thing, we have to drown out the noise. Get rid of the distractions. What is it? And anything that's distracting you from Jesus is sin. It's ultimately an idol. Worship team, you can come. You know, everybody's like, how do I get God's attention? Do I beg? No. Do I need to scream or shout? No. The way to get God's attention, you know what it is? It's through your praise. God loves to be praised. And you know what keeps us ultimately from hearing God's voice? It's back with what I started with. It's pride. Me, thinking that I don't need anything. That was my father. He thought God was a crutch and that he didn't need this crutch. I love how it says, come to me all who are weak and burdened and I will give you rest. You don't think you're weak? Think again. Because everybody in here, you're born weak. Romans 3:23, all of us have sinned. We were born into a darkness because of Adam and Eve. We were born into a sinful world. And we can work as hard as we want to trying to overcome this weakness. We're going to be like a gerbil spinning our wheels unless we accept Jesus as our personal Savior and allow him to do the work. God, I can't do this anymore on my own. Not by my strength, not by my power. But by his spirit, says the Lord. God's spirit. Can you hear God's voice this morning? Can you hear what he's saying to you? Can you hear his purpose for your life? Several years back, I was speaking at a convention here in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's like 2,000 people at this convention. And I remember I'm backstage 5 minutes before I'm supposed to be on stage. And I remember God speaking in my heart, go outside. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world did I just eat? Why is this happening? Because I'm OCD at times, okay? And I hate being late, all right? It's almost like a sin to me, you know? You just don't be late. So I remember I had 5 minutes before I had to be on stage in front of these 2,000 people, and God's saying, go outside. And I'm backstage, and the producer's like, here's the mic, get ready. And I'm like, you don't understand. God's telling me to go outside. Hold on a second. And I remember I walked outside, and to my right, as I walked around the corner, there's a kid in a ball cap, and he's taking a lighter. He's heating it up red hot, and then he's burning himself. He's branding himself. And you can hear the skin sizzling. I watched him as he heated it up again, and he put another mark on him. These marks weren't going to come off. They were going to be on him for life. And he knew it. And he wasn't even crying or making a face about it. He was just numb to the pain. And he was constantly burning himself. And I sat down next to him. I didn't freak out. I just said, oh, my God, you know, well, you're burning your arm off. You know, I just sat down next to him. I said, bro, what's your name? He said, my name's Ryan. He said, my name's Jason. Nice to meet you, man. I said, can you put down the lighter for a second? He said, sure. Didn't even look at me. Put down the lighter. I said, Ryan, I want you to know I'm getting ready to speak in 5 minutes, but God told me to come out here and tell you how much he loves you. And Ryan just lost it. He began to weep uncontrollably. And through his tears and through him crying, he said, Jason, I've always struggled with God's love for me. I've always thought there's over 6 billion people in the world. How can God love me? How can he see me? And he said, I told God if he loved me to send somebody out here to tell me. And you came. And I was able to lead Ryan to Jesus right there. And I was able to help him throw that lighter away. And Ryan was able to accept the fact that Jesus loved him. Why? Because I heard the voice of God. God is speaking. God is speaking. Will you listen? God is speaking. Will you listen? Will you get rid of the I, the pride within to keep you from hearing his voice? Will you be obedient to hear God's voice? Did you know that obedience is the sweetest worship you can give God? That when he speaks, you listen and you do what he says. God is wanting to use every one of us to reach lost and broken people. But we have to hear his voice when he speaks. It can't just be me. He's wanting to use you to reach the Ryans of the world, the Billies, the Bobs, whatever, the Susies, the Emilys. He's wanting to use you. Will you listen? What if I would have just chopped that up and been like, no, I got to be on stage to speak to 2,000 people. God is concerned about the one, the lost sheep, the lost coin. He wants the one, and he's wanting you this morning. He's wanting you to surrender everything. To lay it down, to get rid of the noise, the distractions, the disobedience.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.